Welcome back to Improv for the Podcast. On this week's episode, we have part two of the Annie Sertich and Mindy Sterling interview. Check out part one if you haven't heard it already.
All right. Annie, we're going to turn the spotlight back to you. Because now we're wondering, how did you find your way to the Groundlings? How did you end up being in class with Mindy? All these different things. What was your pathway to there?
I had studied other places first to, quite frankly, get more confident.
Yeah.
And then I left social work, got a job writing comedy, and decided to finally audition. Like, I finally got enough confidence and I was doing it enough, and then auditioned and worked my way through the levels, all that, and like put tuition on credit cards and waited tables and had a day job. I wrote internet jokes basically. And then it was like, the internet was still like starting. Well, no, it wasn't starting, but it was like, anyway, that's, again, for a different podcast called How Did the Internet Start?
Yeah. We're recording that one later.
Right. I was doing all these different odd jobs and just kept working my way through. Had to take a little time off, like, to go to weddings and to get married.
Yeah.
But I found myself in the Sunday company. So I had gone through five or so levels, and I'm in the Sunday company. And
were you ever, did you ever have to repeat a level?
I'd never had to repeat a level. I want to say that's also because I was studying with Orson Welles at the MG Stage Theater.
Of course,
studying at a place called Acme Comedy Theater, which is no longer, but was great. And I got great training over there. Again, I was studying with Cynthia Sagetti. I was studying in other offshoot weird basements. You know, I was just such a lover of the craft of it, despite that I would also beat myself up terribly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, what torturous. There's no script. Yeah. And we love it, and we show up, then we beat ourselves up after because we didn't say what there was no script for. It's insane. I know.
And then you show up again anyway.
And then you show up again. Yeah. And you love it, and you love it, and you love it. And I still, it is one of my most favorite things to do. Mm. So I'm in the Sunday company, and I'm there for a year. Now, you do up to three terms of 6 months. You get voted on, and you keep moving up, or you become a Sunday company alumni. And I'm there. And the pictures, there's the big wall, and then there's the Sunday company wall. And I'm there, and I'm like, I go in the bathroom, and I'm washing my hands. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm next to Mindy Sterling. Here I am, fanny pack woman. Okay, I go, hi. She goes, hi. And I was like, and she's
in the bathroom.
Bright. Yeah. We're in the bathroom. Perfect. We're washing our
Best
hands.
Best place for conversation.
And she's bright, and she's nice. Hi. And then she goes, you a student? And I'm like, yeah, I'm in the Sunday company. And she looked at me. She goes, oh. And it was nice. She gave me a compliment. She's like, oh, I've heard a lot about you. And I thought, wait, what? Like, I'm the girl that can get, like, all A's and study hard. But, like, wait, you've heard about me at this school filled with a lot of talented people?
Yeah.
I was like, oh. And I go, oh, thanks. And then she, as quick as ever, she goes, well, I mean, I don't know. I've never seen your work, so I mean, I don't really know.
I wasn't mean like that. Yeah.
But she was.
But I was very, I was very direct.
Perhaps, yes,
very
curt.
Well, I'll just have to wait
and see.
She
goes, well, I don't mean, I've never seen your work, so I don't know. Because it really was a compliment that landed on me.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh my gosh, thinking, well, I don't know. And so from there, I was like, scared of Mindy. Mindy left. I then probably had diarrhea because you scared me.
You had to go back.
I had to go back.
It was a whole thing.
Yeah. And then I didn't take any of your classes. And then...
Was there a reason for that, or just his way it
I
worked?
I think it just didn't work out. My WOW teachers were Karen Miriam and
Mondale.
Oh my God.
Mandel. See what happens? Yes. Yes.
No, Montel Williams.
Montel Williams. No,
and Orson Welles.
Orson Welles. I may have taken one of your classes.
Like a WOW or something?
Like a WOW, which is just a drop-in class.
Yeah.
But that moment in the bathroom was what I really remember. And then when I did become a groundling, Mindy gave me the advice that she gives everybody, which is don't become an asshole. Mm. And then...
I really say that.
Yeah. That's
good advice. Yeah.
Once again, I was also in a show where she was in the alum and I was still in the training in the Sunday company. Mm. And I got to do it with her. And I wrote her this big email, like, you were an inspiration to me. And she's like, I have no recollection. Who are you? Oh.
What, you talked to me in the bathroom?
Yeah. And I
my had fanny pack
poster and all those sort of things. But then when we started to do more shows together and we then took some other outside workshops together, Bill's class together, and we became friends. But maybe somewhere along the line, the quick story is Mindy had gone through a divorce. I was going through a divorce. Mm-hmm. We had a mutual groundling friend, Jim Rash. I mean, what does he know? Mm-hmm. Oscar winner. Mm-hmm. I'm like, take your Oscar, sir. Go over there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
he was like, you know, I was really in a dark place. And he's like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to get a bike. And I'm like, bike around. He's like, no, you're going to call Mindy Sterling. Mm. You're going to call someone who's been through it. Mm. I'm like, I'm not going to call Mindy Sterling. She was my teacher. I'm not calling Mindy Sterling. Yeah. You know, go away with your Oscar over
there. Get out of here, Jim.
Yeah, Jim, whatever. And he's like, well, if you don't, I will. Shit. So I think maybe 2-3 days I got up.
He must have, I wonder if he, did he call me?
So I call and I go, hi. And you go, I already know, come over.
Okay.
I already know who you are and come over. And I'm like, no, I have a lot going on. You're like, no, you don't, come over. Okay, this is where I live, come over. And I went to her house. She basically had like meat and cheese, like a Jewish spread, like a wake out. I'm like, I don't eat meat.
And I don't eat meat. And
she had meat and cheese out.
But I thought, oh, she must eat some meat.
One of us has to eat meat.
No, I don't eat meat. And I just remember sitting on this like really comfy couch full of so many throw pillows and cats.
I don't think there was a lot of throw pillows on.
There were. You are addicted to throw pillows.
Okay, I do have a lot of throw pillows.
You do. Oh. And you like to recycle them through per the seasons. And
I holidays. Like that.
I bought a couple of new ones.
And you love to go to Home Goods. So
a lot of good throw pillows.
She was there's a siren.
Yeah.
So that's where we sealed the deal as our friend. And she just really, it was like friendship meets mother, meets sister, meets aunt, meets weirdo, meets improviser weirdo, meets groundling, all at the same time. And then divorcees. So we had all these sort of things.
We just had a lot in common. And the fact that the groundlings, that was like a big thing.
That
and
connected you.
Yeah. The divorce coming up. You know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've gone through it. It's horrible. I'm going to give you my, what's his name? What was his name? The
lawyer.
And you're going to go see him. And I just was like, look, I've gone through this. It's terrible. And so she went and she met my lawyer, and I did say, just to let you know, he has a lot of ducks, you know, little ducks there. And I went to her house. I mean, I just, whatever I could do. And then I ended up saying, do you want to stay with me? Because I had an extra bedroom. And
yeah, things got worse for me. I knew Mindy, but things got worse, and things got way worse. And then I was, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I didn't have a place to stay. And it was, you know, part of the divorce and the payments and the beep-a-bops. And so then I lived with her for 37 days. That's about it.
37. Was it just, that's it?
Yeah. You'd be like, hi, you want to come and like cuddle in my bed? And I'm like, no. It's like,
I got a lot of pillows.
She doesn't know how to give it. That's our ticket.
But then that turned around with, I had another person stay with me, and that she did what I used to do. Yes.
So we stayed friends, and then we built friendship. We wrote a cartoon together. We pitched it to Nickelodeon. It didn't go, but it was an amazing experience. Yeah. It was about being messy, and it came from an improv game, which ultimately we did they were doing shorts, and we did the Nickelodeon shorts program, which then allowed us to pitch to pilot, which then, and it all
two,
came
it was
from
two, and it was two,
a game called New Choice. Yeah. Two messy meerkats.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And so that was that. And then, since then we've just,
and we live near each other. So it's really nice and easy.
But I don't take walks like you do. I mean, I like to walk, but alone. I do not like to walk with you or Matt.
That's okay.
Because you walk on a zigzag.
I walk fast.
Well, I walk fast too.
No, you don't. Not with me.
Well,
you didn't.
Okay, well,
you didn't at that time. That's probably because
you're physical therapy. But you also, you walk on a zigzag, so you constantly cut people off when you walk. You do.
Yes, well, I have my own thing.
You got your own thing.
You know?
She does have her own thing, but I won't walk with her. I get on that spin bike, and I sprint on my spin bike.
No, you do, but it's like, Matt and
clearly
I are good walkers.
About it.
Yeah. Good walkers together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Matt keeps up?
Yeah, we are. We're really good together, and he, you know, yeah.
So you bump into him, and he's fine.
No, I don't bump into him. Why would I bump into him?
Take a walk with her. when you go through your divorce. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally joking. You will not go through a divorce.
And then I had to go through all of the men that she was dating after the divorce. Oh,
that's what you got to do as friends. Yeah.
I mean, there were a few.
Yeah. Oh, that's all. That's all to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever have a moment where, like, did you ever tell Mindy about, like, hey, do you remember, like, meeting this random lady saying hi to you at the beach, like, all those years ago?
Oh, yeah. I told you the stories.
Oh, yeah. Touching back on that.
I didn't remember.
She didn't remember. Yeah. And then do you remember, though, when we were washing hands in the bathroom? You do remember that?
Yes, I do remember that.
Because it's a little more distinct.
I could see myself going, well, I don't know. Well, I guess I'll have to see you. But I was kind of doing it, you know.
Yeah.
Very blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, and I was on my way out and stuff. I do remember that. I don't remember. Mike McDonald has something, too, because he used to live around me. Mm. And he said he had auditioned, and he saw me at Pavilions, and I was getting groceries and going into the line. He's like, hi, oh, Mindy, hi, I'm Mike McDonald. And anyway, I auditioned to get into the Groundlings, and then he says,
was running the audition.
Oh.
And yes, and so said, but I didn't get in. And I don't think I was running. I don't think I was running it because I would have known.
I was there for the story last week.
Okay. Anyway, so he said, but I didn't get in. And I went, oh. And he goes, I'm only kidding. I'm just kidding you. And I went, oh. And I just got really weird. Like,
okay.
What the hell are you?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So that's.
Michael, what do you say when you go to Vaughn's? And if you call someone and go, hey, I'm on my way to. What do you say? Insert what it is that you're going to do. I'm going to the, or I'm going to go do what verb?
Shopping or grocery shopping?
Okay. Do you say, I'm going to go to the grocery store?
Yeah.
Okay. Mindy, hi, what are you going
to
do?
I'm going to go to the food store. I don't know if it might be a Florida thing.
I mean, yes.
For some reason, I don't use
really need store. To know. Is there a call-in section of this podcast?
There needs to be.
Does anyone say food store? Besides Mindy Store,
I've never heard that.
I'm going to get some,
She says, I'm at the food store.
Yeah. I don't know why.
I mean, it's not wrong. It is the food store.
It is weird. There must be something. Just, maybe that
it's like a colloquialism.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And nobody made a big thing about it until she.
I mean, I do. More people need to talk about it, I think. This is breaking news right here.
Yes.
Annie, thank you for pointing this out.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome. I hope it doesn't sound like I'm sitting here like correcting you, but I do think sometimes Mindy forgets key moments in her life that make her resume and make you even more of a special person, truly. So I do, as much as I sometimes like to do a quick but-up-up, I really am also genuine about it.
But it's true. I just don't remember a lot of things. And yet there are things that I can go, oh my God, that is so vivid. I can see it.
Yeah.
But things that, yes, I have a focus problem. I'm sorry. What? Who are you?
Where am I?
When are we having lunch?
Is this the lawyer podcast? Yeah. Is this where's Sweet James? We got to get him on. All right. I've got a couple more questions for you both, and then we're going to get to our improv games. Oh, man. This is...
We're doing improv games?
Oh, yeah.
Is it don't touch my head? Or...
Yeah.
Because we're sitting here?
No, I'm just saying, just being silly. Okay, go on.
That's the one exactly that we're playing. Don't touch my head.
Yeah, don't touch my head.
Yeah, that's the one we're playing. So thinking about, how do I put this? What's something that you, as an improviser, Mindy, we'll start with you, that you find yourself still working on right now? You're like, hey, next time I do a scene, what's something I want to work on or improve or try this?
We always like, I love doing space work. So I do that a lot. I think stop thinking and stop. If there's certain people that I don't know well and I don't know their style or whatever, and don't judge them. Don't judge, you know, because if they're doing something wrong, I want to go, he shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be saying that to me. He's not listening. Then I get in my head as a teacher. So I need to just have more fun. I think I get, and see, and now that I'm older, I feel a little, I'm the older woman and I may not have the same thoughts and the same things that you know, young people have. So I get a little weirded out about that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm not playing the roles that I used to play. Or like I don't bring the same ideas to stage I once did.
And I hate playing like really young, young girls.
Sure.
Because you know what? I always think that there people are looking at me going, oh, God, don't do that.
Like, I'm sorry.
We don't need to see you do a young girl who's on meth. No.
Maybe.
Well,
it's improv. I mean, you're able to do whatever the scene needs.
You never know.
Annie, what about you? What's something you still find yourself working on? Or
Range.
Mm.
Because I'm not in class anymore, so yeah. I'm not working on character range because I improvise from a character perspective. Mm. That was also what finally went over to Groundlings is I was in with some Second City people and they were doing like more satire, political comedy, and I drove home crying because even though I studied political science, in those moments I couldn't remember shit.
Yeah,
and I thought, well, I want to play a weird mayor who is making laws about, you know, crosswalks, but I couldn't access anything political or satirical, and so that's what also took me to the Groundlings was character driven.
Mm.
And then because the Groundlings were not always not been very political.
Yeah. Much
well, it
more
was even less about just it was that show happened to be we got in a whole Herald about politics, but it was just satire. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was more satirical improv versus character. Mm-hmm. Transform yourself and be just a weird woman ordering a cookie, as opposed to maybe what's the game in that scene or maybe what's the idea behind the cookie. Now, you have to raise the stakes and all that stuff, but I find myself now being out in the world seeing interesting characters, and I'll log them, but then if I'm in a show, I can go to my go-tos, which are Russian and German.
Oh. Yeah,
I'm
classics.
All the women.
That's
that,
a callback
you know?
To your.
Everybody does that. It's so much easier and fun.
They are amazing, comrades. Such good characters have.
Yeah, so I work on that too.
Yeah.
And I think it is sometimes you have to take off the teacher when you're playing with new groups of people too.
Yeah.
And go, okay, yep, I'm just in this just like I used to be, which is I am going to make everything right and a yes no matter what anyone says. Even if I go, hey, honey, you're home from the war. I'm not your honey and it's not the war. Like, I want to shut down as a teacher right in that moment and be like, you just fully denied both things I said.
Hmm.
So I have to be in the moment.
I think if you're not, and because we don't do it that often,
yeah,
that you get a little, you know, like, oh, I'm not as quick.
I don't feel that way.
I do.
Hmm.
I just want to be very clear.
No, she's
just
really to be quick. Clear. She's very quick. But
I've
I'm
never
not.
Felt that.
So I feel like, oh, am I look? Do I look bad? Oh, am I doing the right thing? Oh, so I can be really, really hard on myself.
Yeah.
And so getting older, you're thinking, I've already done. They don't want me.
Not true, but
not true.
But I feel that
you're here.
It's
we want
just
you.
Me. It's, yeah. Yes, but you know what I mean. But when you're with a bunch of like a lot of young people.
Yeah.
I'm not as when I'm with my people like Annie and Tim Bagley and Mike Hitchcock and all the people that I've kind of grew up with.
Yeah,
it is harder for me because I don't know the other people. Not that I haven't done shows with people that I don't know, but it's just you know I was raised here at the Groundlings, and so I just am feeling it's not them, it's me. I just feel a little out of it.
Yeah.
But I will say, too, when you... Because improv is such a delicate art form.
Yeah.
And if you feel insecure or you don't feel like people even know how to label you, you can bring that on stage whether you know it or not. We do that when we're out auditioning or we're at our day jobs or we're working with bosses and we don't feel seen. So when you play with the same people that see you, I can walk into a scene with Mindy. I can grab a drink... And she can grab a drink, and we can do it silently while we figure out.
We know.
But let's say you're on stage and you're maybe not feeling it. Maybe then I'll start the scene and be like, and I didn't think of labeling. Mm. Or the same happens where you'll be buzzing around some different energy. And I can tell because I've also directed Mindy where I'm like, oh, I know Mindy so well. She doesn't feel confident in this moment. So then the labels don't land on you, or you feel not as taken care of because people don't know your work as well. But I used to teach improv to senior citizens, and it would be like, name a first job someone had. And I'm thinking they're going to say babysitter or something. And someone goes, silent movie ticket taker. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So never underestimate the value of what your history is. So you bring a whole host of stuff. You're out there and maybe you don't know anything about Normandy, which is why I don't know why you'd want to go there.
Vacation spot number one.
I have no idea where that came from.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
But because you say that, that is such gold.
Yeah.
I know to slow down and take that gold, but maybe a newer improviser or somebody is like, fuck.
Yeah.
And they're diarrheaing themselves.
Yeah. Well, it's also too, it's having a relationship. You're always more comfortable when you've been working with somebody.
Oh, yeah. It's much easier.
And especially, doing a show as opposed to doing a class.
Yeah.
A show is, you've got all these people that, are watching you and are depending on you. So I do sometimes feel like I'm a little out of it. I still love to improvise, and I want to improvise, and I want to do shows, and I want to do classes, even if it's just for fun for us. But I think we are our own worst enemies. Or at least I am.
Yeah. I think everyone is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have noticed since COVID, the audience's attention spans have changed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So there is sometimes the pressure to get to it.
Yeah.
And
the patience of the
audience. That is a different way than when we were really in the thick of it, really training. So I don't know if this podcast will come out in time, but we are doing a show with those people you mentioned. It's a 4-person show.
Oh,
Tim Bagley, Mike Hitchcock, myself, and Mindy, called the Westbrook Family Players. We're a family, a fake family, we've written 480 plays, and we're here to do one for you. So it's a long-form improv play.
Oh, wonderful.
Based on a title, based on audience suggestions, there's song improv, there's sound effects, and then we do a Q&A after as our characters.
Oh, like a talk back.
We just sit on stage.
It's really fun.
And we're just our characters.
We're a family. And I'm the youngest.
Yes.
Just so that we're clear.
And I'm the oldest. And but it is so funny, the things that they ask and how we answer them and stuff. So we've done it twice. Mm-hmm. So we've got the third one coming up in
April 22nd.
Oh, this will be out before
that. Oh, great!
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great!
I can give you some info.
Oh, yeah, I'm interested. I want to see that. Just the talk back element alone at the end. That's what I'm there for.
What's really fun is the audience gets into it, and they're like, when you did the play called "Oops, My Top Fell Off," I remember there was a moment where there was a monologue, Leah.
Yeah,
Mindy's name.
Yeah, no, can that's true.
Can you do the monologue from "Oops, My Top Fell Off"?
Oh, wow, thank you so much for asking.
So the audience has fun, almost like
buying into the world you've created.
Oh, they love
and
it.
And the lore of your characters almost.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And everybody wants to ask Tim Bagley everything. Because Tim Bagley is one of the funniest people that I've ever met.
Yeah, he is.
And he's when he just, things come out, you have no idea what's going to come out of his mouth and you know where it's going to go. So they all love to hear him. And he always has that little smirk, on his face when he's like, but they're all, the four of us are but these are my people.
He was my teacher over at the Groundlings too. And what I will just say is that he was also, and is also an excellent dramatic actor.
Mm. Yes.
And that's what I want to say too, is that just being good at improv also helps you be in the moment of any script, any type of stuff. And my first teacher over there was Cheryl Hines, who then during our class did the pilot for Curb Your Enthusiasm. I know. And so you just never know where an improv spark will lead you.
Yeah, where it can take you.
Yeah.
Gosh, there's so many rich things that y'all said back there. I want to jump back really quick to one thing, Annie, that you said just about, you said you did improv with senior citizens, right? And like the idea of like the jobs are bringing up are like, I was a ticket taker for silent movies. I think for me, that's part of the things I love about improv is that opportunity of like each and every person, like no matter what, will bring something unique to the table just because of their own lived experience, which is half the joy of it. Like Mindy, like you said, sometimes working with folks who are maybe younger, a different generation, like it can be tough, but I also think that's the beauty of it too, is like I love improvising here because part of what we get to do is that there's a wide range of age groups here at IFTP, or career paths even.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
There's doctors and lawyers and architects and so many other things. Like, it's just interesting to see that brought to life on stage of like, oh, wow, your life is very different. So these are the things you come up with, or the gray spacing that you do. And I think that's one of the beauties of this mm-hmm. art form. Oh,
absolutely. Don't you find as a teacher too? Because you teach here, right?
I do, yes.
That often we don't access that.
Yeah.
Because of whatever, getting it right, nerves.
Yeah. You're like, oh, it's not funny.
Funny answer. Yes. And that is something that we also want to teach in our class, which is like, no, not what you think. What is the real? And then pull from that.
What do you know?
What do you know? What do you know? Or what do you have an opinion about?
Mm.
You know? So.
Yeah. Because it's the most interesting part of any performer.
Yes.
Yeah. What unique perspective do you bring?
Yes. Yeah. It's very easy to forget that when you go to scripted mm-hmm. work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You think, oh, what do they want?
Yeah.
Versus like, what do I bring?
I'd like to do this.
Right.
But should I? I don't know. They didn't say I could.
Yeah. I don't know if the director wants that.
Right.
Yeah. And you're trying to do it for them instead of how you think it should be done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Ooh. That's good stuff.
Oof,
good
stuff. Oof.
All right. All right, I've got one more question.
Yes.
And we're going to play some games. Annie, we'll start with you. What do you think has been the impact of improv on your life?
I'm not dead.
That's true. Thus far. We ask this to everyone who comes on the show. Up to tonight,
I guess I mean,
April 9th.
Right. What I really mean, I guess I really mean that it has saved me. It has truly saved my life. The community. Mm-hmm. When I have been in my darkest places, which is like I wrote a whole show about it, but that there was a place, there was a basement, there was a stage where I could go and laugh with others and at myself or with myself or surprise myself. And yeah, I mean, it's a different type of endorphin. Really, I don't know where I'd be. I would absolutely be like,
we're meant to do this,
but like, it's truly been the joy of my soul. Yeah. I don't have like a robust 401k, but like I have a robust memory of 401k. I mean, I have sat in the pit at the Groundlings and watched my heroes improvise. Yeah. I have sat over here and watch Matt Moore while I'm almost pissing my pants. I have been on stage with people like you. I'm alive. Like it's all.
And there's nothing better than to make someone laugh. Yeah. And to, while you're on stage, having them make you laugh.
Mm.
Oh.
And that, I think it's all about laughter. I think it's all, it just, it does. It gives you this like, some kind of a vitamin.
Yeah.
That reacts in a way that, nothing else will make you happier than working with somebody else, and we don't know where it's going.
Mm.
If we can work together, you know, and create that, that's wonderful. But, oh, God, yeah, and I'm one of those people, like, I did a lot of kid shows, and I'll tell you, if I am not around a kid at least once every 3 days... I just don't know what to do with myself.
Mm.
It just, there's just stuff about people. We like people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's an art form where you,
yeah,
it's not a solo sport.
No.
So if you're going down with the ship, you're going down together.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was directing an improv show at the Groundlings and someone was in the audience. And then I had also worked in casting. That was one of my jobs. And so they said, oh, hey, they're doing a segment on Jay Leno where you're a fake casting director. And I saw you host an improv show, be the director of an improv show, come and do the gig. And I was like, okay. And I had to improvise with sort of man on the street people, getting them to audition for fake products. Like, could you just say, okay, great, this product, can you do this? And then, okay, then you'll snort a rail. Snort some coke and then it'll be fine. And you like, you talk so fast, you get them to say stuff. And at the end, no, can you say like you're on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno?
Yeah.
Sure, I'm on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. And it was just this like burst of joy.
Yeah.
Then I had to go on the show to toss the segment.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I'm on
Jay Leno.
Yeah.
I am shaking Jay Leno's hand.
Oof. I do have a video of me at the end shaking his hand again, and he doesn't shake mine.
No.
But then cut to that one gig. They were like, oh, someone else was sick. It's your gig now. And Jake goes, well, you got the job. Little did I know I was auditioning. And yeah. I was on like 11, 12 times.
Wow.
I was in the Jay Leno show, which was the Johnny Carson show.
I know.
And I was like a lawyer and a social worker from Detroit and Cleveland, you know? And so improv got me all the way to there because it was directing a show and it was...
And it was at the Groundlings.
Well, yeah. But I mean, it was, you know, it was directing an improv show.
Absolutely.
So there are so many great places in town because... Yeah. The Groundlings is not for everybody. The style over there, the way that you don't continue after certain things is not for everybody.
Yeah.
I really want to acknowledge that. But the art of improv, I believe, makes you even better on dates.
Yeah.
Makes you better with your family.
Oh, job interviews.
Makes you so job interviews. Yeah. Better listener when you're literally just ordering your coffee and you're like, oh. And so I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I just... I really don't know where I'd be. I certainly wouldn't know you.
It's like it's a fix that that I miss sometimes because I'm not as much of not involved as much as I used to be.
I want to also say I'm very flushed in the face. So if any viewers write in that I've like over
the course, you don't look it.
I don't.
I feel very flushed. I don't think so.
Is it warm in here?
It's warm in here and it's also the ring lights, but we look better under the ring lights.
Oh.
I just wanted to say, but you
can't see me. We'll keep it in. No. You're like, well, she doesn't look flush, but I'm going to write in about it anyway.
Write in. I'm good. Dear IFTP.
All right. You ready to do some improv?
Sure.
All right. From our seats, and then we'll wrap it up from there. All right. This first game, it's one you probably know, Oscar winning moment. Beautiful game. If you don't know it, quickly go over it. You're going to perform a scene from a made up film. I have the title for you. I'll share it in just a moment.
Are we doing it differently? I mean, she's going to do something and I'm going to do something. We're not working together, right?
You're working together. So the two of you in the scene. I will just be conducting, directing. So you'll do the game Oscar winning moment from the movie that's called The Last Stand of Honor. Right. It's called The Last Stand of Honor. Beautiful title. So we'll see a scene from that movie. At some point, I'll call out for one of you to give us your Oscar-winning moment from that film. And then when I feel the time is right, I'll black us out. Mm-hmm. All right. Any questions? No. We got it. All right. Here's a scene from the Oscar-winning film, The Last Stand of Honor.
General.
Yes?
It took you so long to answer me.
I'm losing my hearing, Bob.
That's why I've called you into my office. There's been complaints about you. You were someone that we could count on. You were someone out in the battlefield that would take a shrapnel to the clavicle. You were the definition of honor.
I was, wasn't I?
Yeah, I just...
And now I'm going downhill. And that is why I wanted to tell you that I think you should take over. Do you not believe in yourself?
No, I'm just a lowly receptionist here in the war.
I know it, but you know what?
I'm just a receptionist. I could never. Did you?
You've got to. Do you understand? We look so similar. We could probably make it so that they will think that I'm you and you're me.
Hold on a minute. Are you saying that I should just take on your honor, take on your physical, and go out there and pretend I have the actual honor and go and stand for honor as you, as General No Name Smith?
God, yes.
It's taking you a long time to respond.
I'm trying to put it all in my ears. It's all this running around and all the blowing up and all the
Hold on, I need to answer the phones because I'm the receptionist.
All right, I'll wait.
Annie, it's your Oscar-winning moment.
Hello, yes. Yes, you've called the war. Where can I direct you? Mom? Oh, no, Mom. No! You're dying? Oh, Mom. Please don't die. I have a chance. I have a chance to make myself of something. I'm here with the general right now, and I can go out in the battlefields. We're in Normandy. That's right, Mom. Please, can you hold on? Please hold on. Don't die of restless leg. Please. I have a choice to make. I can make my choice. Mom, listen.
turn on your TV because I'm about to be a general in the war.
You're going to have to get off the phone now. Yes.
Okay, Mom, I got to go.
Well, I'm sorry for your mother, but this is more important.
She's still alive.
Well, I got.
I broke. These are three things.
Hello, you've reached the war. My goodness, my goodness.
I think you might have called me Bob.
I did.
And I was like, okay, well,
it was between Barb and Bob.
Well, that's why I thought, well, yeah. You know, and I could be Bob, but also...
Bobby?
Yeah, short for Bobby, Roberta. Yeah. We're going with that.
There's so many things it could be short for.
Yes.
All right. Well done. Beautiful film. Can't wait to watch the screener at home.
Thank you so much.
Looking forward to it. Just a beautiful script. I think that was Sorkin, right?
Yes.
The Sorkin script.
Oh, it was the best.
Easily.
Yes.
Easily. Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway. All right. Moving us on to our next game. This one is called Good, Bad, Worse.
Okay.
This is a game of advice. I've received some questions from our audience members, and they need some advice from the two of you. So how this will go, I'll read, the problem. It'll be like Dale, 43, Cleveland, Ohio, has this problem. And I'm going to say, Annie, you're going to give some good advice.
Okay.
Then Mindy, you might give some bad advice.
Okay.
And then Annie, you're going to give worse advice. And then we'll kind of flip from there. Okay. So we'll just do two pieces of advice. You'll each give a couple of things. I'll say, give us some good advice, bad or worse.
Okay.
All right, here we go. We've got a question from, let's see, Linda, 36, from Scottsdale, Arizona. And Linda said, my husband is bad at loading the dishwasher. What should I do? Ooh. Annie, could you give us some good advice?
Well, Linda, thank you so much for asking. Basically, compliment your husband. You're in Scottsdale, right? So it's probably hot. Tell him he glistens from his sweat. Just compliment him, and then he'll be motivated to load the dishwasher. Do I have it right that he doesn't load it or doesn't load it right?
He doesn't load it right, according to Linda.
Well, right. In the compliments, also just slightly try to train him, but mostly swallow your own feelings. It's very important, Linda. You're 36. You're almost over the hill. Slowly, people won't like you. And that's in the mail department.
Yeah. Uh-huh, sure.
So she has to hold on to that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for calling.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Mindy, could you give us some bad advice for Linda?
Well, you know, I've had many a man that wouldn't do anything correct. What I've done, I have found a way to get all their money. You don't need someone like this. You get all of their money, and you take them out to a wonderful evening. And they think, oh, well, we're rekindling our love, okay? Mm-hmm. And little do they know that I am going to let them go somewhere. I've got the cat. I've got the kids. I've got his car. I just leave him alone. He has no idea what I'm doing or where he's going, because men like that are nasty and they are out of their minds, and I will not be with anyone nasty or out of my mind.
Wow, thank you.
Let him go. Let him go.
Let him go.
Just where it's dark, let him go. Let him figure out his way through life.
Thank you so much. Linda, please take that to heart. Annie, if we could just get a little more advice for Linda, maybe some worse advice.
Well, like my cohort said here, let him go where it's dark. And then go back 24 hours later. Run him over a couple times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Run him over.
That's what I would have said.
Put his flat pancake, flaccid Scottsdale body in your trunk.
Yeah.
Drive it home.
Mm-hmm.
Cut it up into different dishes, size, mm-hmm. plate, fork,
mm-hmm.
a mug.
They'll teach him.
Maybe a pint. Mm-hmm. No, he's already dead. So he's
well, I know that, but I'm just saying it you know.
Well, he's already dead because you ran him over.
I didn't run him over. You said you ran him over.
That's right. I mean, I've run him over.
I just dropped him off. I dropped him off because I wanted to see how he was going to deal with it.
Right. Well, I'm saying then he's dead.
Yeah, now he's dead.
Now
and
you
so
cut him into dishes.
You do.
And then you load that dishwasher correctly.
Yeah.
You get an Instagram account.
Let him know that.
You make an Instagram account called How to Load a Dishwasher Correctly with Human Body Parts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you become an influencer.
Yeah. Yeah. Make some money.
Mm. Make some money. Because you're 36, Linda. Most of your best years are behind you.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't, I wouldn't go out without a bra.
Oh, God, who does? Oh, I'm not wearing one right now.
I know that. That's what I looked at you and I went, you got to stop.
No. The beaver tails are free in the wind.
That is just, those two are the biggest things I've ever seen.
I know. Jeez. They bounce around.
Yes.
You should see me in step aerobic class.
Oh, I have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Blackout. I think we have to cut that one out.
Wow. The advice, it's always murder, huh?
I know, we went dark both times.
But you got it.
I mean, that's where that game goes. That's the point.
I've never done that game.
Yeah. Just to see the escalation of how bad it gets.
That's a fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the joy of it.
That's fun.
All right. We got one more game in us?
Yes, we do.
We have to pee, so hurry.
Okay. We can make it quick. All right. In this game, it's called Your Local Town Hall. You two are community members of the town of Avoca, Arkansas. You will be debating a very hot topic for the town of Avoca, Arkansas. Okay. And before I tell you what the topic is, I'm going to say, Mindy, you are for this, and Annie, you are against it.
Okay.
And we'll just hear your points of view on this this hot button issue that is rampaging through the town right now. Just put it like that. Oh, you'll find out.
Oh, we have to come up with.
Oh no, I've got it for you. I just don't want to tell you yet.
Sorry. Okay.
Yeah. I'll introduce us to our game.
Oh. Okay.
And then you're both members of the community of Avoca, Arkansas.
Hi, Ellen. How are you?
Well, I'd be better. I'd be better if we could just get right to it.
We're going to.
Well, it's Avoca, okay? There's a parade this week.
I know.
So, I got a lot of planning to do, okay?
You are the best. I love your parades.
Barbara, let's just easy with the compliments till we find out how we get to
All right, well, we got some issues. So let's see what it's going to be. Let's see.
It's Price is Right. What's the...
All right.
Yes. What do we got?
Thank you for coming down to the town hall meeting with your issues. Today we're discussing and debating.
Good to see you, Richard. Don't act like you don't know us.
I apologize.
Richard, how's your mom and your sister?
Mom's well.
Yeah.
You know, she's been playing a lot of backgammon.
God, that's
been having
game.
A great time with that.
That's going to keep her sciatica. Moving.
Oh, at bay for
that's
sure.
Right, because she plays stand up back.
Yeah, she does. We got her standing desk, that's where she puts her backgammon.
That's something we can agree on.
I agree.
Your sister, she not doing well?
No.
You know, ever since she moved down to up to Anchorage, she's been...
Nobody should live there.
She says this was God's mistake. That's what she said.
Oh, my God. So is she... Where is she now? Do I need to call
Anchorage?
Her?
Yeah. She's in Anchorage.
Oh, she is staying
Alaska,
there. I thought that you had said that was a bad thing, that maybe she wanted to come back.
She's thinking
wrong?
About it. She misses
See,
Avoca.
She's thinking about it.
But,
Ellen, she's thinking
you
about
know,
it.
You know, she shouldn't have fallen in love with that deep-sea crab fisherman, let me tell you.
Yeah. Oh, my God. When's the last time you had a crab?
God. You know, they've been out of them down at the Red Lobster.
Oh, gosh, I know. Oh. I know.
I've been just housing shrimp cocktails, but I said I want to get little nibbles on a crab.
Oh, my God. I could. Oh, is
oh my God. Someone's calling.
That, oh, my God.
Hold it. It's my lawyer.
Feel free to grab that.
Hold on.
Let's see who this is.
Yes, Paul.
Hello.
I'm waiting.
Hold on. I can't find it.
Well, I don't care if they're going to
go. Oh, my God. It's your D.A.D. Phone. I can't talk to him right now.
No, you can't.
No, I can't talk to D.A.D.
Lord, Richard, you know she spells. She spells the name. She can't say.
I know.
Dad.
Well,
I want to make sure you understand it.
Of course.
I say dad, there you're going to go, your dad. Your dad's still alive. So, no, not necessarily. D.A.D. It is meant for don't ask...
Details.
That's right. Also, I just want to make clear, when her phone rings, that's when she becomes Southern. Before that, this one ain't Southern.
She putting on a show.
No.
I'm more comfortable when I can use
you.
Say,
I don't want to be from Avoca. You say, I don't want to be from Avoca, Arkansas.
Then
you get that phone call. You see D.A.D.
Well, I'm sorry. Look, if we're going to start arguing now, we're never going to get anything done. I'll tell you
that
much.
Apparently, we don't even know what the topic of
Let me bring us back around. Thank you for asking about my family. But, you know, there's an important issue to discuss,
that is
whether or not we should allow the beaver to be the town's new mascot.
Oh, my God.
Beautiful creature.
If you've seen that new beaver, beavers, I got to tell you something. There's something so lovely and strong about them. And you know that when you watch them and you look at them and you hear them, that kind of a thing, you know that they are here to help you. God has said that he sends down a beaver and
I don't even know what else to say, because they're going to make sure that you are doing things right. And I say, let's continue with that beaver. I'm sorry. I have to vehemently disagree with you.
You are always so angry.
I disagree with you. You tell me one thing you don't think about when you know the word beaver. It is a downstairs area on a woman.
There you go.
Know that. No. And you know every little kid, every young boy, every little who knows what's it is going to say, oh, I'm going to wear a mascot on my shirt, a.k.a. a big old beaver.
And you know what? Then you slap them and you make sure that they know that beavers are not for that type of reason.
No, we are not allowed to slap anymore in this town.
What?
Yep, there's an ordinance.
I've got to change that.
There is an ordinance. Is that not?
Ordinance 12.
I've got to change that because I can change that, can't I?
We can bring it up at the next meeting.
I'm going to bring it up at the next meeting. Now, you better believe that.
No, beavers? Uh-uh. No. And that's going to cause sexual promiscuity, because all of our boys are going to be wearing on the football squads, and they're going to be wearing pussies on the middle of their jerseys.
Oh, my God. Look at how you turned this into.
I'm against it. I like a duck. We've always been
the ducks.
The Arkansas ducks.
Yes.
That is the...
Times are moving ahead, sweetheart. Times are moving ahead. And you know what? I'm the one that's in charge. Who are you anyway? Who in the hell are you to come in here and tell me that's a pussy?
Well, let's see. I am the town florist, and I also sell belts on Etsy. So I feel like I have a little bit of leverage in this town. That's who I'm telling you. And I used to be your best friend, and I lived in your shed for a while. So you better listen.
Oh, really? Do I really need to?
Think about what a beaver does. It builds a dam. What's a dam? A dental dam. Lesbians. Promiscuity.
Look at you. You haven't gone down on me before.
That is true.
So all of a sudden now you're bringing all this out?
Well, that's
I'm trying to forget it, because it's the worst thing that ever happened to me. I still have some kind of a rash, and that was 8 years ago.
I'm sorry.
I can't do it with anybody anymore, because you just broke me. You broke me when you went down there.
I guess we'll find out what this is really about.
What is it?
But I'm sorry. Back to the topic at hand.
Well, this all belongs to it, okay? Now, if I say no to the beaver, you know what they're all going to do to me? They're going to laugh at me. Nobody's going to talk to me anymore. Mm-hmm. They're going to say, you're a traitor. Is that what you want from me?
Well, I mean, you're pulling at my heartstrings, okay? And now I say the heart is right in the middle cavity of my chest, okay?
What does that mean?
That means if I was wearing a sweatshirt and I was trying to locate where my heart was, I'd be pointing right at the beady eyes of a beaver. And then I would think, pussy, pussy. And I would get distracted.
Look who's coming in. It's a beaver.
Okay, see? I don't know if that was a walking vagina or if that was a beaver. I didn't know. And we have, Arkansas, we've got to be out there in the world being more taken seriously. You think having a beaver on our chest, on our stickers, on the back of our trucks, an occasional Prius, you think?
Who's got that Prius in the backyard?
Oh, my God.
Who's got that Prius that's been staying there for 3 weeks?
Oh, God.
Is that Mackie?
It's Mackie, the new dentist.
Well, that's ridiculous. Get him out of here.
Get him out of here.
Back to the beaver.
I say no. That's my vote. That's my final offer. That's my Price is Right. That's my $1 showcase showdown. That's my Press Your Luck. That's my...
Well, I want to thank you so much for sharing, but guess what? I'm the winner here. I'm the one that's in charge. Nobody else is here. It's just you and me.
Well, what happened to Rick?
No, he's gone. He's gone to get some tater tots.
Blackout!
I mean, I went right to...
Well, that's the thing is, it's going to... Yeah.
But yeah. Beavers are sexual upon first notion.
I had something else in mind, and then
it was
going to be just about introducing the first McDonald's to the town. But you referenced Red Lobster, so I was like, oh, chain restaurant, can't do that.
Oh.
So then I was that's the first thing I thought of. I was like, town mascot, and then I was like, do they have beavers in Arkansas? I have no idea.
Oh my God, I loved it.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing to improvise from the seat, though. I have to say, because
it's a different game.
It's a different game. I would have gotten up. I was like, oh, my purse is over there. I've got evidence in my purse.
Yeah.
I want to make a phone call. I want to, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's what
we're so used to.
We're so used to
it. Yeah, the physicality.
Yeah, the physicality.
You don't just stand there. You know?
But it's a really fun exercise.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fun to have to yes and yourself without taking those things away.
Yeah, the constraints produce different results,
that's
I think.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Mindy. Annie,
yes.
Any last words you want to leave us with tonight? Projects you have coming up. I know we have that class at the end of the month, but it's sold out, but more to come. You have your show on April 22nd. Any other things you want to drop, mention, name, or just last words you want to leave us with?
I am doing my one-person play, one-woman show, whatever you want to call it, May 21st at the Groundlings Theater, 8 p.m., How to Not Kill Yourself for 30 Days and the Next 330. And some members of IFTP have come and seen it, but I, it's about the time when my
life
fell
apart. It's so good. It's so I've seen it like, I don't know, 3 or 4 times.
Mm. Aw, thanks, man.
It's really, really good.
About 55 minutes. And it's about, the time my life took a big old falling into the shit bucket and how do you get out of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. May 21st.
May 21st.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mindy, anything for you?
I have nothing planned. trying to keep busy. I'm doing some Comic-Cons.
Mm.
I'm actually going to be in Burbank May the 31st and June the 1st. And it's celebrities that have been on game shows.
Oh, fun.
So there's a lot of fun people that are going to be there
and
sign autographs and stuff. So I do love the con, so I'm trying to do as much as I can because, again, it just fills my heart.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, Annie Sertich, Mindy Sterling, thank you so much for coming on this episode of
Improv
for the Podcast.
You did such a great job. You're really good at this.
Well, thank you.
Don't let Matt tell you otherwise.
You know what? He's my biggest critic.
Delightful interviewer.
He says, get out of that closet.
Great. This was really great. I love the exercises. I love just it being different. And it was kind of cool to just be able to sit here and blah, blah, blah.
It's a different feel. Yeah. It takes some getting used to, I think, because you're like, oh, man, I want to move around. I want to, object work, space work. But,
it was good. Yeah, it was different.
Yeah. Well, I'll go ahead and close this out. Thank you so much to Annie Sertich and Mindy Sterling for coming on Improv for the Podcast. As always, we'll be back next week with another episode. But until then, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Improv for the Podcast was created by Matt Moore and Michael Lee Evans. Edited and produced by Michael Lee Evans. And finally, presented by Improv for the People. Interested in more IFTP? You can visit us at improvforthepeople.com or on our socials, such as Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube. Remember, new episodes are released weekly. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.